chapter 12. Start at verse 1. Read with me if you wish. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, with a prophecy let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Let brotherly love be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The Lord would help me for a few minutes. By his grace, I don't intend to preach long. But I would like to preach to you on the subject tonight of the guardian of the gleam. Guardians of the gleam. For we find that the Apostle Paul, when writing fervent in spirit, he was saying a word that is hard to translate, but yet it actually critically means boiling in spirit, literally heated till you are moving on the inside. Anything that is heated hot enough, all of you older folks will understand this a whole lot more than this younger generation. We that was raised around a freestanding stove understands that if you chuck the wood or the coal to it, after a while you will get a glow from it. Amen. And the more intense the heat, the more intense the glow. Paul is saying to the church at Rome, and understand that the church of Rome in Paul's day may not have been as large as our church, though it was a huge metropolitan city, for in that day they said all roads lead to Rome. To be a Roman citizen in that day was of great value to all men. Paul himself was a Roman citizen. Some men bought their citizenship with a great sum of money. Some were freeborn Romans. But to be a Roman citizen was to have the protection of Rome. Amen. They were moving this Christianity into a city that was given to idolatry. They worshiped their Caesars, their emperors. Their emperors was their gods. Besides that, there were many other gods, amen, that these Romans had. Paul came to Rome and found a new fledgling church there in Rome. He writes this book of Romans to the church, amen, at Rome. He gets over to the 12th chapter, and after laying out to them the gospel as it is found in the gospel, amen, according to Paul, which is the book of Romans. If you want to know what Paul believed, read the book of Romans. Amen. Amen. So he gets to these people, and he has been laying out to them the gospel as he knows it. And then all of a sudden he gets to this chapter 12, and he begins to talk to them about a personal life. Amen. And as he talks to them about this personal life, he is not giving them an easy thing to do, but he is asking them and demanding of them. For this chapter 12 is the most demanding chapter in the whole of the New Testament. Amen. If you want to try to live up to something, strap it on. You will find a full counterpart for your nature. Amen. You will find a struggling and a wrestling for you to come up to chapter 12 of the book of Romans. I don't have to go far to prove to you that what I'm saying is true. Just read the first verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Stop there. Rest my case. It's a demanding chapter. Get yourself under control. Make your life a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice was? Let me clear this up so it'll be a little bit lighter for you. You know what a sacrifice was? It was a lamb, or an ox, or a dove, or a pigeon, or a sparrow. Amen. Or it was wheat, or it was oil. Anything that God demanded could be turned into a sacrifice. Amen. Even Abraham was asked to sacrifice his Isaac. Isaac was a sacrifice. God sent his son to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice, my friend, therefore, was doomed to die, whether they wanted to or not. Once they were chosen for a sacrifice, it meant death. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? I guess some of you have to forgive me before you'll get with me, but forgive me, amen, and then try to help me. But I want to tell you something. That sacrifice, when it was chosen, meant that it had to die. If the wheat was chosen, it had to be offered up. It had to be taken from your hands and given. You had to give it. Could not hold on to it. You had to lay it up on the altar and watch the fire devour it in front of you. Whatever was sacrificed, you watched it get consumed, and there was nothing left of it. You had sacrificed. You remember David said that great text that a lot of holiness preachers have preached on, I will not sacrifice unto God that which cost me nothing. David knew that a sacrifice without cost was worthless. Amen. So David said, before I offer anything to God, I will pay the full price for it. Amen. So Paul is saying to them, I don't want you to die as a sacrifice. I want you to live as a sacrifice. Which meant that you must take your hands off of your own self. You must offer your own self up daily. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It was a daily sacrifice. Every morning when he got up, he said, here God is Paul upon the altar. If you burn me today, I'll be consumed in your flames. If whatever you do with me today, it'll be in your will. I accept it. Amen. That's why Paul could recount that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, when it has their perfect work, will make you entire and wanting nothing. Amen. Oh, that we would learn today that God meant for us to be different from the world. A living sacrifice. People who have cut the strings of self-will. People who have renounced the world and its allure. People who have dedicated their life to the cause of Christ. This is chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Y'all going to help me preach? Maintaining the spiritual glow. Guardians of the gleam. It was in our early Pentecostal experience. Our forefathers, when it first happened, we were known as the old Wesleyans were. When they got sanctified or saved real good, they got a glow or a gleam in their face. They used to be called men with the shining faces. Amen. They got so cleansed. They got so changed. They got so radically changed. They got so wonderfully saved. They died out to the world. And they become people with a gleam, amen, in their face. A lighted countenance. You ever met anybody? Have you ever seen? How many here tonight have seen people with a shining face? Raise your hands. Because some of these children have never known what it was to see somebody saved or experience something from God that it actually got so deep inside of them that it just lit a light inside and made it glow after face. Amen. Some folks, they were known to keep that experience and maintain that experience. And that's what Paul is saying to these people at Rome. It'll be easy for you to lose the glow. Now let me tell you something about metal and heating it. You can heat something as tremendously hot as you want. Get it as red and then change it to another color and get it to the ultimate white. A white heat in the metal to where it's moldable and it almost runs like water. But you just remove it from the fire and set it over on anything and soon watch it come down to room temperature. It may take it a while to lose its glow, but leave it alone and keep it out of the fire and it will come down to the normal temperature of its surroundings. Paul said to these Romans, if I do not tell you that you are chargeable to God, that you are demanded of God, that you are asked of God to keep this glow, you lose it.
All right.
Amen. You lose it. The 12th chapter is the most demanding chapter Paul ever wrote. He is asking these people, some of them slaves, some of them poor people, some of them that were getting saved were people of Caesar's palace himself. Amen. Of the household, he said, of Caesar, some had got saved. So there were people who were put in perilous places. And then Paul asked them to love without dissimulation. He asked them to hate the evil that was around them, to be kindly affectionate to one another, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Then he said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Then he said, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh my, persecute. They were living there where Nero lived, that homosexual emperor who history said married a 16-year-old boy and publicly took him down the avenues of Rome, amen, in a bridal procession. Amen. Not only did he have this 16-year-old male wife, I guess that's what you would call him, or whatever it was, however they described that affair, but he also had a lot of other male lovers. It was a weird place that they lived, where the emperor was polluted, where he was perverted, where all of Rome was a carnival. There was three major sins that brought Rome down: idleness, fullness of bread and circuses. Are y'all going to help me preach? Paul said to them, denounce it. Renounce it. Get yourself from it. Stay above it. And if they persecute you, don't curse them. Bless them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And go on and listen to the high things that Paul says here. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And he said, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul is merely stating, amen, that they are to keep the glow at all costs. Right. I look out in our Pentecostal experience today. I forget who it was. Brother Carpenter, I think, he said, made the statement this morning that the old timers had something that we didn't have. They had the newness of the experience. We're the third generation Pentecost. I am a third generation Pentecostal. What does that mean, Brother Benny? What are you saying, a third generation Pentecostal? My grandmother got it when it was still fresh. When it first swept into southern Indiana, she got swept up in the torrent of this Pentecostal blessing. She got saved and sanctified out of her Baptist ways. Amen. She got a hold of the Holy Ghost. It got a hold of her. Amen. It was new. Amen. And right after that outpouring of the Holy Ghost came miracles. Just one healing after another until every church was almost a healing center. Amen. Was nobody promoted because they prayed for the sick? Everybody prayed for the sick then. Everybody believed God had healed then. A lot of our forefathers wouldn't go to the doctor, wouldn't take medicine because they had such an experience with God. That glow was transferred to the second generation. And for a while, the second generation kept it. But then the world began to cool them down. And you've watched it right here in the valley as we've watched it in southern Indiana. As they removed themselves from a personal experience with Jesus Christ, they begin to cool down to the normal. Amen. Until now, in a lot of Pentecostal churches, you couldn't tell them from any other denomination. Cool down. Amen. That's what one of the old ministers said when Pentecost first broke out. He said, brethren, they had a conference in one of the organizations. They said, what are we going to do with these people? Men are flocking to them. And one old man rose up and said, don't do nothing. Just leave them alone, and after a while, they'll cool down. Oh, have we ever cooled down? Have we ever lost the glow? Till now, we've got in our midst fourth generation Pentecostals, and they know nothing of the power of God. The most they know of the blessing of the Lord is a shout every once in a while, or a tongue in interpretation. Maybe somebody getting healed from a headache. We're leaving them nothing to guard. We're making them the guardians of nothing. We're holding out empty hands and an empty experience to a generation that's just as important as any generation in the sight of God. Amen. But it's not the fault of our forefathers. They were given a real experience. It wasn't the fault of our parents, because they too had a real experience. It's not our fault, because we have got our own experience. But in each generation, to those who didn't become a guardian of it, they soon lost it. Amen. Oh yes, my friend. Yes, yes, you know it's right. Paul is calling them in this 12th chapter of Romans to do something that has to be done in every one of our lives. He's saying to them, the first thing you've got to do is get the ropes of the world off of your life. You must consider yourself a living sacrifice, and you must see that you are holy. It didn't say holy living. It said holy. Just like the word holy is on the front of our Bible. The Greek word for Bible, bibelos, is just books. Books. I can go in there and say, those books that I have are Bible. Because a Bible is a book, or books. But when you put the word holy on front of that word book, when you say it's a holy book, that separates it from every other book. This book is to be looked upon as God's word, God's thoughts, God's way, God's law, God's doing, God's history, God's amen, answer to man's plea, God's righteousness, God's holiness is found in this book. That's why it is a holy Bible. Amen. When you say holy church, that's why they put that word on the Holy Catholic Church. They say we are one church. There's not another one like us. Amen. So they put the word holy on the front of it to make it one. And that's what God says here in this, by the Holy Ghost speaking through Paul. You are holy because you are blood bought. You are holy because you have been purchased with a great price. You are holy because God has chosen you out of the world. Amen. That is why he says, your living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I wish you'd help me preach. Anybody out there got a spare amen? Amen. Reasonable service. Now, if you look back for what God has done for you, the most reasonable thing that you can do is give yourself back to God after God gave himself for you. Amen. The most reasonable thing you can do is to say, I got saved out of the world. Why do I want the world back in my life? God saved me from sin. Why do I want to sin any longer? God separated me and changed me and made me a new creature. Why do I want to regress back into the old creature that I was? Amen. So Paul is saying that's your reasonable service. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. Be not forced into the world's mold. Do not be forced to dress like the world. Do not be forced to accept the world's standard. Don't be pushed into accepting the world's amusement. Don't be conformed to this world. Let me ask you a personal question. Can they tell any difference in you now than when you first got saved? Has God changed you in any way? Are you still conforming to the world? Does the world dictate your prayer time? Does the world dictate your Bible reading? Does the world dictate your fellowship? Does the world dictate when you come to church? You'll say, well, no, Brother Benny, I'm free, wide, and 21. Sure you are. But if you're not careful, my friend, the world will take away your rights and make you live according to their rules. That's why Paul said to these people who lived in Rome, look, you know the old saying, don't you? Have you heard it before? When in Rome, do as the Romans. That's where we get our word for adaptability. Amen. When you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Well, Paul said, that's not good. And that's not gospel. And that won't work. You're in Rome, but you can't do as the Romans do. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Amen. Paul's asking them to recast themselves in a holy mode. Amen. But be ye transformed. He said God's got a mold that'll transform your life. Amen. I'll guarantee you tonight, if we would all pray through, tomorrow we would be different. I don't care how long you've been saved. I'm saying tonight, if every one of us would pray through, clear through, till we spoke in tongues, till we got lost in the realm of the Spirit, till the Holy Ghost had time to do a work in our life, every one of us would be different. How? I don't care how holy you live in. I don't care how separate you feel like you are. You pray through into the holy realm of God's heavenly. Amen. And all of a sudden the mold of God come down around you. Tomorrow there'll be some things that'll hit the waste paper basket. You'll go and get some things and dig them up and throw them away. They'll be of no use to you. Oh yes. Paul's saying recast yourself into the heavenly mold. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said you need your mind renewed. Now my friends, after swimming in a cesspool all week, on Sunday night you need a good old brain washing. Amen. I mean that. I don't mean trying to get you to believe like I believe, but you need the blood of Jesus Christ just to come down and cleanse your mind of vulgarity, of cussing, of swearing, of cheating, of lying. Amen. Of dealing with the world, of looking at pornography that people, other people have put in front of you. Amen. That's right. You can't walk into some places without them plastering that stuff up in front of your face. Ah, glory be to God. We need a holy renewing of our mind. We need a holy brain washing along with a holy heart washing. And Paul said we'll never get it until we're willing to die out to self and see that God has made us a guardian of a holy experience. Amen. He tells them to bless the powers that persecute them, to return evil for good. Amen. To subdue the enormous city of Rome and all the alien powers by their patience. Confound it by their goodness. Amen. And win it by their love. And that's still our task today. If we're to win this world, we must be different. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's hard to define. I'm telling you the truth right now. It's hard to define. Amen. I'm not trying up here tonight to be a theologian. I'm trying to define a term that you cannot define. I'm trying to tell you there is an experience that God has put in our hearts as holiness Pentecostal people. Amen. There are to be a glow in our face. There are to be a heat in our prayer. There are to be a spring in our walk. There are to be a dedication to our cause. There are to be a love for God. Amen. There are to be a hunger for His Spirit. There are to be a deep felt need of His Word. Amen. All of these things are the things that take to make the glow. But more than that, we live in a day when people have dropped their guard. And they no longer want to keep this Pentecostal way. They want to bring it down to where it's acceptable of other people. Instead of keeping the glow and being the guardian of the experience, they've layered it down. Amen. They've lowered it down. Amen. Until people don't want holiness preaching. Amen. Just like one young lady told Sister Kim. Amen. The reason that she goes to these other churches is, amen, that she can get blessed. Amen. And she can have the experience and blessed and not have to live a holiness life.
But she said, but when I come to your church, she said, and I listen to the preaching in your church, and I'm in the service at your church, she said, it provokes me all week long. Amen. That's the difference, my friend, between a blessing that you lose before you get out the door and a Holy Ghost that comes down in your soul that stirs you up all week long and reminds you you've got to live good. You've got to overcome the world. You've got to stand straight. You've got to stand true. Your eyes have got to be opened. Amen. We see God in this day. We've got to have some people that are going to protect this experience.
When's the last time you prayed through till you didn't jabber? Until you didn't say a few words that was incoherent, but you prayed through to the Holy Ghost. You got down and prayed plumb through to the Holy Ghost. I mean, you spoke in another tongue as the Spirit gave utterance. You lost control. You got out of sight. You went down into the depths. You arose to new heights. You felt holy ecstasy. You heard things that were unlawful to utter. God got down deep in your heart, and you felt a holy, amen, anointing. And the anointing does make the difference. Amen. It's not like Benny Hinn, amen, who blows on them and slays them all in the floor. That kind of rolling over on top of one another while they're out. No, it's not a holy laugh where you get down on the floor and roll and laugh. It's a holy life. Amen. It's not a holy this or a holy that. It's a holy life. Amen. I don't care for your laugh. If your life's not holy, I don't care for your experience, whether it's running the top of the pews or running the aisle. Amen. Or doing whatever you do. Get slain out. Whatever happens, I don't care for it, sir, if you don't live holy.
Oh, God, help me tonight. I'm preaching on guardians of the glow. God has sent me here and let me be called to preach to this last day generation. I'm running stiff competition against the Benny Hinns. I'm running stiff competitions against the R.W. Shambachs. I'm running the stiff competition, amen, against these radio and television preachers, amen, that tell you you can just be blessed no matter how you live. I'm telling you, my friend, the road is narrow, but the road is right. The road is demanding, but the road is right, amen. The road is steep, but the road is right, amen. We know it's right. If it wasn't right, why, my friend, in the first instant of his pouring out of this baptism of the Holy Ghost, why did they come out of other churches? Why did the Nazarenes come to it? Why did the Methodists come to it? Why did the Presbyterians come to it? Why did the Baptists come to it? Because they had nothing like it. And they saw, amen, and when they came to it, they sought sanctification. They sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They straightened up their life, amen. They give up their habits. They quit going to the show. They got rid of their televisions. They straightened their life up. Oh, my God. Amen. If God didn't demand it of them, why is he demanding it of us? But he did demand it of them, and he still demands it of us. Say, how many degrees of heat and intensity have you lost here lately? Can you feel the temperature going down in your soul? And are you getting lukewarm? That's what the Lord said. I'd rather you be cold. You'd be separated to a deep freeze than for you to stay out here and be lukewarm. And what he means by lukewarm is just coming down to the average of this world. The world makes God sick. And he said, if you get that way, you'll make me sick too. Amen. Come on now, church. Listen up to me here. If you won't help me preach, then listen to me as I try to tell you something tonight. When you let your experience begin to come down degree at a time, that hot metal doesn't go from white hot to black gray steel. No, it changes color as it comes back down, just like it changed color as it was getting hotter. Amen. And you watch. You watch it, what I'm telling you tonight. I've watched you as a pastor. I've seen you red hot. I've seen the Spirit of God on you. I've heard you speak in other tongues. I've seen the Spirit of God have control of your life. I've watched you change some things in your life. Rededicate your life. Straighten up your life. And then sure, amen, there came a time when you felt like you couldn't do any better. So you just took at ease in Zion. Amen. And your testimony. Testimony lost its ring. Yes, and your song lost its anointing. Amen. And your shout wasn't as frequent. And the Holy Ghost didn't move on you like it used to move on you. Why? Because you did not count it worth protecting. You did not accept the challenge of God to be a guardian of the globe. Preaching to people that I've preached to so long that I no longer have their attention. Great God of heaven, help me tonight. I'm telling you, what Dryden Road needs is an individual transformation. Individually, we move our experience back up till we glow. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Glory to God. You know I could get each one of you tonight and preach to you. Amen. I could just get right in front of you. Ain't nothing you can say to me. Amen. Just don't lay hands on me now. And don't try to stop me because I'm preaching to you. I've seen you in better days. I've seen you when the anointing of God was on you. I've seen you when the Spirit of the Lord used you. And now I wonder when it will ever use you again. Why? Because you sit calmly by and watch that experience grow colder and colder and colder. And instead of taking time to pray through, get clear prayed through until you speak in another tongue from another world. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You said, Brother Benny, it's not all in tongue talking. I didn't say it was. But if the Holy Ghost gets control of your life just right, if the Holy Ghost comes in you just right, you'll do something, my friend. You'll prophesy. You'll praise God. Or you'll speak in another tongue as the Spirit gives utterance. And when you do, it'll help you. How long has it been? How long has it been since you prayed through and God's hand got a hold of the thermostat in your life and cranked it up and you felt the warming of God's hand breaking the ice off of your heart? Amen. Some of you have got potential, but God does not have control. Some of you have got talent, but God has no control of your life. Amen. You're able to do great things for God, but will never do them because you will not cut free of the world. What the world has to offer is more important to you than God. You pick girlfriends out of the world. You kiss a pretty little old thing that don't know nothing about God. Let her inside of your heart. Let him inside of your heart. And then expect to warm him up. You got to be kidding. That never works. Amen. Chances are if you get him, he'll cool you down. If you get her, she'll cool you down. Amen. You'll never get back up like you once was. Come on, somebody shout amen. That's right. Oh, yes, my friend. We won't buy tickets to the theater, but we'll go someplace else that's not considered a theater. But we're there for the same reason. We get pleasure out of watching movies, whether they're about wildlife or sky life or sea life or whatever they're about. We get enjoyment out of entertainment. Amen. And you come to church, nobody's entertaining. We don't have no sideshows. And you said, man, that's a boring place to be. Go to church. church. Ain't nothing in church. Church don't do nothing for me. I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather go out and have fun. I'd rather go to the mall. I'd rather do anything than go to that old boring church. Let me tell you, it's not the church's fault. You're in the wrong cast. You're in the wrong mold. You need to be transformed. You need your mind renewed. You need to get the Holy Ghost burning back in your soul. You need the help that only heaven can give. You need the help of the Holy Ghost. I don't care who you are, who your mom and dad is. You can get so cold that you cannot be helped. Will I ever do anything for God? It depends on, are you willing to let God on the inside to work out the problems? Are you willing to let God on the inside to work out the problems? Church is not the problem. The problem rests right here. Church has never been the problem. Church solves problems. Church puts an equilibrium in marriage. Church puts a righteousness in you. Church makes you to a fellowship that's holy and righteous. Amen. The church is not the problem. The preacher's not the problem. Amen. The choir's not the problem. The problem rests right here in the human heart. And until we're willing to say, God, put me in your mold and transform me. Transform me. It may mean that I must die to myself. I must die to the things that I think I love. I must let go of things that I think I can't live without. But oh God, if it means that I can live in eternity, amen, then I'm willing to die now that I can live later. The word transform comes from the word metaphorist. Metaphorist just simply is a conversion. Amen. An old ugly little old ugly wiggle worm, amen, climbs up a limb and gets up there on top of it and weaves his own casket. He'll start and weave his own little casket around him, weave and weave and weave until he shuts the world out, and then he seals himself in. He goes in as an ugly, detestable, earthbound little thing, just crawling around, stepped on, picked up by birds, amen, despised by most people as ugly, amen. Come on now. But after he goes through the transforming of God, he dies to the world. It may rain. He doesn't care. It may do whatever it will do. The flowers are blooming. People are going up and down the road. He doesn't care. He waits until the transformation is complete. And then all of a sudden, up out of that little old casket, that self-made, amen, that self-made little casket, he sticks out his head and then he pulls out his body. And that little old whirly worm has changed. A sleek body with slender legs, and he unfolds wings, and the color of those wings are nothing like the ugly, detestable little coat that he wore. It looks like God himself has taken the paintbrush and picked out color hues from heaven and painted him all over again until he cannot be conquered, amen, or conquered by anything. He is his own now, amen. He doesn't go back down the tree crawling. He doesn't go back down to the earth to walk. He unfolds his wings. Who taught him to fly? He learned it while he died. Amen. And when he came out, he was transformed. Once he was bound to the earth. Now he flies through the heavens, over the top of the trees. North to south he goes. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Paul said, you need to literally crucify yourselves. You need to literally immobilize the old man. You need to come to grips with yourself. For you indeed, sir, are your worst enemy. Anybody say amen? I'm about through. We need a change. How many times have you promised God you was going to? Never done it yet. You know why? You've never died. You'll never change completely till you die. When you die out to self, you crawl upon that altar and you say, God, here I am. Oh, God, use me in any capacity you want me to. Anything that you want me to do, I have no greater joy than to do your will. Then when we lay ourselves out before God, He doesn't want us to die except to self. He wants us to live and take this glow back out into the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Men of old, walked on trains, sit down in their seat. It is said, that two men at the same instant bolted from one from the back of a coach and the other from the front and run and got in front of this man of God and said, Sir, you convict me of my sin. What was it? He didn't pack a Bible and wasn't preaching. He merely walked in and sat down. But oh, you can live in such a life that glow goes into the world. Amen. And men are convicted by the way you live and the way you talk and the way you conduct yourself. God needs lights. You are like a light that's set on a hill. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. That's what God wants. Men that have the glow of Pentecost. Men who have the fire of Pentecost. Men who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And literally have been set on fire of the Holy Ghost. Men who will not cheapen their life. Men who will not get down to the world's level. But men who will break a trail to get higher so other men may follow them. When was the last time you prayed through to where God put you on a mission for Him? When was the last time you prayed through until God said, all right, I'm going to give you this soul to pray for. I'm going to put this one on your heart. I want you to pack it like a mother does his child until it be born of my spirit. When was the last time God gave you a word to take to someone else? When was the last time He gave you a message for someone else? When was the last time God used you in any capacity at all? And I can tell you why. You're not any hotter than you are. It's because you have no functioning in the Spirit. Paul says to them, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must have your thinking changed. You must alter the way that you think. Amen. You come tonight, didn't you? Yes, I'm real proud of you. You're here tonight. You're here, but what did you bring? You're here tonight. I appreciate your attendance. You gave in the offering. I'm glad you did. But what did you bring? Any fire out there? In fact, I'm feeling sort of chilled myself. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost help me, I think you'd have froze me out by now. Is there any warmth out there at all? Is there any fire in that pew that you're sitting in? Do you feel anything for your neighbor? Are you radiating anything? Are you praising God? Or are you sitting there quiet? Are you sitting there set back and saying, I'll get over this preaching? Amen. That's just Brother Sutherland. He's just going through another one of those things, and it'll be over in a little bit, and we'll be out of here, and we can forget about it. Yes, I know. That's what you've done constantly. But when you come to this pew, when you come to your place, what did you bring? Is anyone warm because of you? Has your worshiping brought the Spirit of God down? Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen. How many know that's how the Holy Ghost works? I said, how many knows that's how the Holy Ghost works? I'm not preaching something foreign, am I? How many knows that's how the Holy Ghost works? If you've got a bad spirit, you can freeze folks plumb out. Amen. You got an old cantankerous, argumentative spirit, you'll freeze folks out. They'll sit right on the pew next to you and literally freeze up. But if you come in offering God a sacrifice, you come in offering yourself as a living sacrifice, and you get the Holy Ghost moving on you, who knows? But you may bring conviction down on the sinner that's sitting next to you. Amen. And you may want, oh, glory be to God. You may not want them, amen, to know what you're doing, but you cannot hide a Pentecostal fire. Glory to God, they can sense it if they've ever been around it. They'll know it the minute that you come. I've walked into places, not bragging on me, I've walked into places and people said, "You're a preacher." I said, "How do you know?" I'm not packing any Bible. I would usually go out and, amen, I don't look like a preacher. Amen, I'm dirty from working. But there's been times when of all that, and all the disguise that I had, working, dirty pants, dirty shirt, dirty hands, a dirty face and sweaty, they said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" Amen. That's right. I couldn't announce it. I didn't look like a preacher. But there's times when the Holy Ghost will emanate from your life. There's a time when the Spirit of God will flow from your heart and touch the lives of other people. And how much more should it do it in these pews when we come in and we're on fire for God and we're praising and worshiping God? Oh, how the glow should turn to intense heat. Some of you can't because you've been in the world all week. You've not read your Bible. Some of you lied to mom and dad. You hid where you've been. You think it's hid from God. What you've been doing is hid from God. Let me tell you something, my friend. Ain't nothing hid from God. Ain't nothing hid from God. That's why you don't get anointed. That's why you're not a blessing to your church. That's why you're not a help to your friends. That's why they get no comfort from you. It's because you have been too long in the world. Amen, Brother Benny. We are called to maintain the glow. If this church loses its anointing, what will we have to offer? Now come on, sisters. Answer my question in the depths of your own heart. If this church loses its anointing, what have we to offer? And if nobody else maintains the glow, nobody else maintains this spirit, what happens in your family? What happens? When you already know the battle that we had to go through to pray them into this experience, what happens when we don't maintain? What are you going to offer your church? You're the fourth generation. What are you going to offer your church? When we die out, does the blessing die out with us? Like it has with a lot of churches who sit now all over this valley with just old folks. And people go down there and say, "Well, they've got some old folks that believe it, but the church is dead." A handful of old folks trying to maintain a glow, but they didn't pass it on. And when you don't pass it on and you don't live it good enough that other people desire it, you may have it, but you're like an ember. You'll die out after a while, and there'll be no fire. For where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Any log, no matter how big it is, will burn itself out. We need to pass it on. We need need to pass it on. How can I pass it on except I maintain it? How can I pass it on except I keep it? I'm asking you, son. How are you going to give it to anybody unless you got it red hot? Pass the torch. We're in a race. Mine's about done. Got to pass this on to another generation. And if we don't give it to them red hot, it may die in their hands. You hear me, Dryden Road? It may die in their hands.
Amen. Come here, Brother Darius.
Brother Darius is an old track man. He knows that when you run a relay, you don't run it by yourself. You only run an assigned distance. And a man who starts off the race must get the torch legally to you, or the baton legally to you. If it's not a legal pass, you're disqualified. You can't pitch it. You can't drop it and pick it back up. It's got to be a legal pass. Amen. So the young man in the front, who's getting ready to receive it, stands with his eyes open and his hand out, and the man coming behind falls in and reaches it to him, and then he takes off, and the man who passed it steps aside and says, run. A lot of churches, they could have passed the torch, but the old preacher stood right there and said, no, I'm not getting out of the way. I'm not moving out of the way. I built this thing. I put my life's blood in it. It's my church. And it died in his possession. Amen, Brother Benny.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you tonight, is it going to die in your hand? Or are you going to say, oh God, burn brightly within me, so I can pass this torch over to another and give it to him so he can run with it. And when I pass it to him, let the experience be full gospel. Let him know of a sanctified life. Oh, no, my God. I'm a preacher to you tonight. You know I'm preaching to you the truth tonight. You're going to pass something to your children. Some of you have already waited almost too long to pass the torch to your children. None of them have this Pentecostal experience. They don't believe in holiness. And you're going to die. And they're going to go down a broad road to destruction because you didn't pass it to them. Shall we be a guardian of the gleam? Shall we pray till our experience becomes new again? Shall we recast ourselves in God's mold before we fall? Become a vessel that cannot be made back, and he has to make it into another vessel. Shall we brighten ourselves back up? Yes, son. The prophet said to you, there's a bump in the road, better things ahead. Can we handle the bump? Can we handle the bump? I can tell you how we can handle it. Get our experience to where it should be. If persecuted, we can bless. Breath to breathe and a sun to light his day.
Yes.
I made my goodness to come down on him. And I'm asking you to bless him like I blessed him. Amen. For my intention, for
for him is to save him. And I'm asking you, sir, I'm asking you, ma'am, are you ready to stand up and say, God, if you'll build that experience back up in me, I want to be a guardian of it. I want to pass it to my children.
All right.
How many times has your children hurt you? Pray through to that unknown tongue in your home. Don't tell me you haven't been. I've seen you before. Sis, you can take it. And you can make it. And you can win. If you keep the fire of the Holy Ghost, you can turn it around. If you keep the fire of the Holy Ghost, get down tonight and pray through till the Holy Ghost speaks through you, and stay there for him to work on you until when you get up, you are feel like you're back into the hands of God. Bow your heads. Father, the reason I preach to my people this way is because I love them. I don't want them to lose their godly heritage. You have put this Dryden Road Church right here. You founded it on this experience. You took people, Lord, that was from the back part. You gave them this experience. And you built this church yourself. Lord, don't let us get cold and lukewarm in this hour. The world would cool us off. Oh, God. The world would cool us off. Any way it could cool us off. But Lord, I'm asking you to build the fire again. Holy God. Holy God. Send the fire of Pentecost again down in our heart and our life. Give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. What you did for my mama and my grandma and my grandpa, do for me, O God. Heal my sick. Give me faith, O God. Give me faith in prayer. Faith, O God, that reaches up towards heavens with empty hands, but pulls down hands fools on purpose. Oh God, anoint my prayer life with the unction of the Spirit till I pray through. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, oh Father, you said, speaks in mysteries. Howbeit he speaketh unto God. When we pray through, Father, to that tongue that you've given us, that unknown tongue to the world, that unknown tongue to the devil, then we talk to you, and you, oh God, hear and understand what we're saying. You know the utterance of our heart. You know the mind of the Spirit. We're getting things prayed through, Lord, that we never even realized that could be prayed through, because you've anointed us afresh. Oh God of heaven, let the Holy Ghost break out among us again. Get in the pews, oh God. Get in the hearts of men and women like you did the night that you filled them with the Holy Ghost. Liven up their heart, oh God, again. Till we come into this house with thanksgiving and praise, with a shout.